I was getting ready to open with 1 Peter 2. We're talking about part two of our Seasons Not Over. And 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 16 in the Message Bible says, "Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. For it is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family, revere God, and respect the government." Now go with me quickly to 1 Corinthians 7. Because I saw this and became unglued last week. Verse 20, King James Version, says, "Let every man abide in the same calling where he was called." That just means everyone should live in what you were called to do by God. See, abide comes from the Greek word meno, and it means to stay. It means to remain. It means to permanently abide. It means don't leave. It gives the idea of something that lasts and endures forever. It means not to depart. It means to be present. It means to last. That's what abide means. And God is saying, I want you to last. I want you to hang out. I want you to stay in. I want you to never leave the calling that I originally gave you. Whether it was 2 days ago, 2 minutes ago, or 15 years ago, what I gave you then, I expect you to still be doing now. And I also expect that you will take your life, as the Bible said, the Message Bible says, your everyday going to work, walking around life, and fit it into your calling, not the other way around. You're not to take your calling and try and make it fit the life you want to live. You're to take your life and fit it into what God has called you to do. Everybody has a calling. Romans 11, verse 29. I was going to read it in the King James, but I'm just going to read it in the Amplified Classic Bible. Because sometimes, you know, the devil will cause us to believe. I don't know how he does it, but he'll cause some of us to believe that because of our behavior, God's taken his hand off us. God's no longer called us. Well, Romans 11, 29 refutes that. It says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. So once God calls you, you are called for the rest of your natural life, regardless of what you may do. Even if you plan to sin, God's not going to pull his calling away from you. He's not going to pull his gifts, the gifts that go along with that calling, he's not going to pull them away from you. He's just not. He never withdraws them. It's your responsibility. It's the responsibility of the person who was called to abide in the same calling. It's the responsibility of the person who was called to stay in that calling and not depart from it. It's the responsibility of the recipient of that call to continue in it no matter what comes. It's the responsibility of that recipient to endure in the gifts and callings bestowed upon him by God or her by God no matter what may come. And the part about that that excites me is that if that's what God called us to do, then that's what he equipped us to do. So we shouldn't walk away from our calling just because something happened. Or just because I'm going through something. or just because something popped up that I didn't expect. God knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew everything and knows everything about us, everything that we're ever going to face in life. And guess what he did? He put a calling on our lives anyway, and he expects us to abide in that calling. We're celebrating 40 years. What I'm going to read to you right now, you can see it on our webpage, talking about the founding pastors here, Clinton and Sarah Utterbach. It says, a burning commitment to follow and to please God was the motivation that stirred Clinton and Sarah Utterbach to answer the call of God on their lives. Look what they had to do. Their obedience to the call resulted in them making a life-changing decision in 1979 to leave successful careers, their home and family, in order to attend Rhema Bible Training Center, now it's Rhema Bible Training College, and more importantly, their obedience resulted in countless souls, bodies, marriages, and lives being changed for the good by the power of the gospel, because they were called to teach the gospel in this region. They were called to pioneer this church called Redeeming Love Christian Center. They were called to make sure that this was a place where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. And what we have to do is focus on the call of the ministry and not the individuals that God placed to lead the ministry. Many people didn't expect that the pastors would make it. Some didn't like their choice. God didn't care about that. Some were wrapped up in their past. Pastor Clinton was referred to as a poor Pentecostal piano player. He had a lot of descriptions for Pastor Sarah. I was talking to her about that a little earlier today. I said, do you remember one that you want me to share? And she didn't give me one, so I'm not going to give you one. Okay. But the call isn't about, this is important, you may want to write this down. Your call isn't about who you are. It's about who you are going to become. Want me to say it again? Your call isn't about who you are. It's about who you are going to become. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. I'm going to share verse 26 to 31 out of the Message Bible. It says, take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking, right living, a clean slate, and a fresh start, comes from God by way of Christ Jesus. That's why we have the saying, if you're going to blow your horn, blow a trumpet for God. See, we didn't get here on our own merits. Look at Luke 22. This goes in that category of one of my favorite passages because of the principles in it. Jesus is he's speaking to Peter. This is out of the Passion Translation. He said, Peter, my dear friend, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Satan has demanded to come and sift you like wheat and test your faith. But I've prayed for you, Peter, that you would stay faithful to me no matter what comes. Remember this. After you have turned back to me and been restored, make it your life's mission to strengthen the faith of your brothers. But Lord, Peter replied, I'm ready to stand with you to the very end, even if it means prison or death. Jesus looked at him and prophesied, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. Now think about what happened during that exchange. Jesus said to Peter, Satan has demanded to come and sift you like wheat to test your faith. And Jesus did not say, but I told Satan no, so you don't have to worry about anything. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you, Peter, that you would stay faithful to me no matter what comes. So Jesus' prayer for Peter was that Peter would stay faithful to Jesus no matter what would come, that Peter would stay faithful. Then he says, remember this. And when I saw that, I'm anticipating, remember this, I prayed for you. Remember this, Satan's going to come. But he didn't say that. He said, remember this, after you have turned back to me. And I said, wait a minute. And before I could finish, wait a minute, I read the rest that said, and have been restored. So Jesus prayed that Peter's faith wouldn't fail, even though he knew it would. Jesus prayed that Peter would remain faithful to him, even though he knew he wouldn't. But aside from that, knowing that Peter was going to turn away from him, Jesus still gave Peter a call. He said, after you've turned back to me and have been restored, make it your life mission to strengthen the faith of your brothers. He said, well, why would Jesus call someone who he knew he was going to fail? Because Jesus knew that Peter was going to be restored and was going to do the job that he was called to do. Because Jesus knew that once God makes a selection, he never withdraws it. Peter had an anointing on him that wasn't going to leave him just because Peter had a weak moment. There's an anointing on all of you to do something specific that God has called you to do, and it didn't go anywhere because you missed it. It's still there waiting for you to pick it up. When Peter said, I'm ready to stand with you to the very end, even if it means prison or death, Jesus just said, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. So Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him three times. But he also knew Peter was going to get it together. And he gave a call, a very important call to Peter anyway. And the gifts, as we read in Romans 11:29, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives or his grace to whom he sends his call. So even though Jesus knew Peter was going to have these issues, he still called him. Even though you may be going through issues, there's still a call on your life. We just need to make a choice to yield to the calling and not yield to the pressure that may come with the call. We have to yield with the calling. And you can't tell me, because I've heard people say, I don't know if there's a calling on my life. Well, the scripture we read refutes that. 1 Corinthians 7:20 says, let every man abide in the same calling where he was called. Now, does every man mean everybody? Yes, of course it does. So everybody, once you receive Christ, you were called. You accepted a calling. And now Jesus is saying to us, through the Apostle Paul, we have to abide in that calling, and there isn't anything we can do to get rid of it. There's nothing I tried. I tried. I said, let me do other good Christian stuff, and God will leave me alone. No, at that time, I was called to the youth department, and I didn't want to be in the youth department. I didn't mind serving. I just didn't want to serve with the youth in the youth department. It's not that I didn't like youth. I like kids. I like them between the ages of 6 and 10. That's what I liked. And I liked them because they were willing to try anything, to learn anything, and you didn't have to work hard. They didn't care about being entertained. And everything you did was, wow, look at that. And God said, no. And then the youth department, the youth fellowship was called, Teens on Target. And God wanted me to work with the teenagers. But I didn't want to, so I tried to avoid it by becoming a host. I wasn't called to be a host. And I made it very hard for my family, and I had to just repent, and I had to do what I was called to do, not knowing it was going to lead me into the office of pastor, not knowing that at all. But all that was part of the call on my life. See, God gives grace to whom he sends his call. And since he sends a call to all of us, guess what else comes to all of us? His grace. Why do we need his grace? So we can respond and abide in his call. But this is what we have to avoid, because people get caught up in stuff. People get caught up in personalities. They get caught up in notoriety. They get caught up in dress. They get caught up in choirs. They get caught up in a whole lot of different things that have absolutely nothing to do with the call. Because as I said earlier, it's not just a call on your life. There's a call on the ministry. And the call on your life is in line with the call on the ministry. That's why God sends people. That's why people are called to different churches. That's why we have to stop talking about one another, depending on the church we go to, because we're not called to do the same thing. But we're called to serve the same one. There have been churches where the founder passed away and the mission of the calling of the church seemed to wane. And in some cases, the whole mission of the church changed. And once that happens, people begin to feel like their season is over. They think their season's over. They think there's nothing there for them. And it happens because people get connected. I'll say it this way. People don't get connected to the calling on the ministry. You know what they get connected to? The pastor or the choir or the programs or whatever, their friend, whatever it is, they get connected to that, and people move, people go to heaven, people relocate. And now that your favorite person's not there anymore, well, now I think my season's over. No, your season's, it's only just begun. But in order for that to happen, we have to take our eyes off of a person and put our eyes on the calling of the ministry that God called you to. Because that's not going anywhere. Faces change, people change, the calling stays the same. There's nothing wrong with loving your pastor. Yes, it's okay to love me and Pastor Ed, that's fine. But not to the extent where you'll disconnect from what the ministry is called to do. What is the ministry called to do? We're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're called to be a place where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. We're called to do that. So everything we do should highlight that this is a place where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. In everything, in the way we carry ourselves, in the way we talk, in the way we interact with people. But again, here's the problem. If your love is not for the calling, when the pastor leaves, you'll be right behind. If the choir goes, you'll be right behind. If the social activities go, you'll be right behind it. And this isn't new. Let me tell you what God had to say about a situation similar to that. God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt to the promised land. The people weren't focused on the promised land. They were focused on all the obstacles they were facing on their way to the promised land, to the point where they never made it in. They made it to the promised land, but they didn't make it in. Most of them didn't make it in. A lot of them were focused on Moses. Or if they weren't focused on Moses, they were focused, as I said before, on what they were going through. Then something happened. Go to Deuteronomy 34. Read a few verses there, starting with verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher until this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural forces abated. Many of the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, as did the Lord commanded Moses. And there was not arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Okay, what about the call? Go to Joshua 1. Because we want to talk about the call, we want to talk about the promised land. And what happens now? Moses is dead. Everybody loved Moses. Does that mean their season's over? Joshua 1, starting with verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. God placed that same calling on someone else, Joshua. The same calling. Joshua was called, but he was called to do the same thing that God wanted Moses to do. Get the children into the promised land. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou, meaning you and all these people, to the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. As I called Moses, I'm calling you. Moses was called to bring them in. I'm calling you, Joshua, to do the same thing. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it. See, God called Joshua not to undo everything Moses did, but to continue, because there was a mission, there was a calling for the children of Israel. And that call had to be fulfilled. And we know about Joshua 1:9, but I want to drop down to verse 13. He told them, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. In verse 17, he said, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we'll hearken unto thee. So the people were saying, we followed Moses as Moses followed the calling. We're going to follow you, Joshua, as you follow the calling. We say it a little different here. We learned it from our founding pastors. You follow us as we follow Christ. You follow us as we follow Christ. Notice God didn't ask the people, you make sure that Joshua is following me. So God gave the instructions to Joshua. God gives the instructions to the pastors. That's why he said in Jeremiah 3:15, I believe it is, I will give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with wisdom and understanding. I will give you pastors after my own heart. I'm going to call people to be pastored, and then I'm going to call folks that they're going to pastor, because my heart for them is in the call that I gave the pastor. And I need you to follow the call. Here's the point, folks. God called people to fulfill a kingdom calling. The people needed to be led to the place God had for them. Their leader went to heaven, so God called on Joshua. See, why did he pick on Joshua? Joshua's focus was always on the calling. He was on what this ministry was all about. That's what Joshua, that's why when they sent the 12 spies in to look at the land and they came back with an evil report, Joshua said, no, let us go and take it now. We're well able to do it. Why did he take that stand? He believed the calling. God said, I have given you this land. Joshua believed that. He said, well, if we've been given the land, let's go. Doesn't matter who's in it, it belongs to us. That's what God's looking at. He's looking for people to take ownership of the calling that's on their life. Take ownership of it and abide in it, and that's not changed. Here, it began with Clinton and Sarah Utterbach 40 years ago. Pastor Clinton is in heaven. Pastor Sarah now has emeritus status, which means that's a place of honor, and it's like being retired in a sense. And God called the former youth director and the former sound guy, it's me, the former youth director, and Pastor Ed. He called us and he gave us the gifts so that the calling on the ministry will continue. So that the calling on the ministry will continue. Some thought the season was over because Pastor Clinton went to heaven. Oh no, it's only just begun. It's only just begun. They're not here, but the calling of God is here. And the promise to give you pastors after his own heart is still here. It hasn't gone anywhere. But we have to understand, every man, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20, we shared it before, I'm going to share it again. Let every man abide in the same calling where he was called. So everything that I had to do when I was called to the youth department, God's expecting me to have that same drive, that same gusto, that same stick-to-itness now. The same obedience that I gave to Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, God expects me to give that to him. Not that I didn't give it to him before that, but Clinton and Sarah Utterbach were the ones I directly reported to. Now I report directly to Jesus. I report directly to God. And we have to follow his instructions the same way. I don't concern myself with making a mistake. We've made some mistakes. Because God's gifts and his calling are irrevocable. He doesn't withdraw them once they're given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. So God never said, I can't believe they made that choice. What was I thinking when I put them in that position? No, he doesn't think that about us, and he doesn't think that about any of you. And you need to know that. He needs to know that. God gives grace to whom he sends his call. And you're called by God. You have the grace to operate within your call. And here's one way you can do it. There are a number of ways, but here's the one God highlighted. In 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. Amplified Bible, It says, for this very reason, applying your diligence to the divine promises, make every effort in exercising your faith to develop moral excellence. And in moral excellence, knowledge, insight, understanding. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, steadfastness. And in your steadfastness, goodness. And in your goodness, brotherly affection. And in your brotherly affection, develop Christian love. That is, learn to unselfishly seek the best for others and to do your things for their benefit. For as these qualities are yours and are increasing in you as you grow towards spiritual maturity, they will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regards to the true knowledge and a greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, closing his spiritual eyes to the truth, having become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Saying, be certain about the calling on your life. Be sure, this part is so important. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. Make sure that everything you do shows that there is a calling on your life. Make sure that whatever you do shows that you are abiding in the call that's on your life. Make sure that whatever you do screams out, I know my season's not over. And remember this as I close. Remember this. Romans 8, verse 29 to 31. Romans 8, King James Version. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And to whom he called, them he also justified. So we were predestinated. We were chosen before we were in our mother's womb. And because we were chosen, we were called. Because we were called, we were justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? We've been predestined. We've been called. We've been justified. We've been glorified. What type of mindset should that give us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Because I am called, because I am justified, because I am glorified by God, nothing can stop me. Nothing can stand against me as I walk out the calling God placed on my life. Our season is not over. Your season is not over. Because God never takes back his gifts and calling. So since God is with us, nothing can stop us. So start abiding. If you're not already, start abiding in your calling. And I know you know what you were called to do because it's something that's been burning in you. You've been trying to shut it down. And in using the scripture to justify it, say it's like a fire shut up in my bones. Yes, the word does say that, but it's talking about something that's in you that's trying to get out. And you're holding it in and you're feeling it's like a fire shut up in my bones. Well, it's not supposed to be in your bones. It's supposed to be out. All over you as you walk, operate, or as the word says, as you abide in your calling. Nothing can stop you if you would do that. I'm going to leave it right there. Nothing can stop you as you abide in the same calling wherewith you were called. The original call on your life hasn't changed. were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, if you were called to Redeeming Love Christian Center or to whatever church you were called to, if you don't know it, find out the call on that ministry and get in step with it. Get in step with it. You'll be amazed at the doors that'll start opening to you, because the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? If you don't know what your church is called to do, how can you be in agreement with it? Get in agreement with the calling of the ministry that God called you to. Get in agreement with the leadership that he's placed over that ministry, the under-shepherds, because it's their responsibility to lead you to that calling. Get in agreement and watch things change. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've shared with us this evening. And Lord, we just believe in Jesus' name that by your Holy Ghost, you will share with every person that hears this message exactly what their calling is. You will clarify it for them so that they can see it. It will become tangible to them. And it'll help them realize that regardless of their age, their season is not over. It's not over. It's not over until we hit the mark of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. Until then, as the Apostle Paul said, we're going to keep pressing. We're going to keep pressing. We're going to keep pressing. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we know that in order to do that, one must have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, I don't know who's watching. I don't know who's dialed in. But if you're out there and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm going to just ask everyone to just make this very, very simple confession. Jesus, I realize that I need you in my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross and you were raised from the dead. And I'm asking you now to come into my heart. I'm turning from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I'm turning towards you, Jesus, and I'm asking you to make something new of me. Folks, that's all you have to do, because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you did that tonight, in a few moments you're going to see some information. There it is, the information on the screen. Just contact us and let us know, I made that confession with Pastor Greg, I'm born again. And we will send you free information. I mean, really free information. Not going to cost you anything. It's going to explain to you who you've just become in Christ. You're now, the Bible says, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away and all things become new. You say, what does that mean? We'll let you know when you contact us and we'll send you the information. And if you have any questions, anyone out there, you have any questions about anything we've shared tonight, use the same contact information, and I'll get back to you. I may not get back to you the same day, but I will get back to you.